Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and you are listening to Houston Wrestling Radio, probably the best podcast in all of Texas, and probably the only one I've ever heard of. So crank it up and enjoy.
Hey, this is Bret the Hitman Hart, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio.
Hey, this is the Innovator of Violence, Tommy Dreamer, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio, taking you to the extreme.
Hi, this is Booker T, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio. Now can you dig that, sucker?
From La Cocina Studios, it's 133rd edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Travis.
I'm Chris.
Thank you so much for tuning in today, guys. We have a lot of stuff to talk about. We got Elimination Chamber still to look forward to, as well as Unstoppable coming up tomorrow. If you're listening to this, it's later tonight, if you're listening on Wednesday. So yeah, that's some cool stuff to get to. And well, we had another great episode of Lucha Underground. So what do we want to start off with, guys? I guess that means news.
Or new, because he only did three little hashtags. Like,
yeah. No, I think he did four. He did four this time. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right. So what do we have for news today, fellas?
There's some stuff with NXT, right?
Okay. What's going on in NXT?
They have new trainers.
Ah, new trainers, you say.
Yeah. Actually, WWE says.
Oh, okay.
Well, we're just humble little broadcast journalists, that's all.
Yeah. Who?
Oh, yes, Prince Albert. Oh, I mean, what's his name now?
Jason Albert?
That's it.
That guy.
Yeah, him.
Yeah, all right.
And Sarah Del Rey.
Okay, yeah. Sure, why the hell not? I mean, you know,
She's been working with all the divas in NXT.
Yeah.
Some of them that have already moved on to WWE.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this makes perfect sense.
Yeah, and Albert, you know, took over, you know, as interim. So, yeah, I guess he did a good enough job where it's like, okay, well, we'll give you the full-time position.
Mm-hmm.
So, What the hell? Why not?
So with the full position now filled, somebody has to slide in and take their old position.
Oh, yeah. And who is that?
Adam Pearce.
Nice.
Officially. Finally.
Nice.
After test driving the car, they finally decide to buy it.
Yeah. Adam Pearce is like one of those guys who, you know, from the Texas area, he's been beloved here. And he's been trying to, you know, make his way onto TNA TV and on the WWE TV.
He couldn't even make it in TNA.
He was there for a cup of coffee. Yeah.
Well, now they went ahead and said, hey, you know what? Let's give you a position here. And
we'll make him forget all about that other place.
Yeah.
It's almost out of pity.
Almost, I suppose.
Here, you can be an agent.
Or a coach. A coach, is that what they're calling him? Coach?
Whatever, I don't care.
Whatever. So, yeah, that's cool. Well, what else do we have for news, guys?
Oh, Steve Austin's podcast.
Yes.
Is going monthly on the network.
Every month.
Yeah, every month.
So he's got his regular podcast, his Unleashed podcast, and now he's going to be doing
But to his credit,
video
though,
cast on the network.
The podcast out of the last two that he's done on the network, he's released them under his own podcast title. So if you didn't watch it, you can hear it.
Right.
Okay.
Like the Triple H one and the Vince McMahon one are both available on his family friendly version.
I think.
Yeah. Paul Heyman's next.
Yeah.
The night after Elimination Chamber from San Antonio.
The first.
Yes.
Yeah.
And lined up ahead of him, or after him. Finally, a lot of fans have been asking him this question. He'll be interviewing The Undertaker.
Nice.
And I also read Hulk Hogan.
Okay.
Which will be an interesting sit-down conversation.
That I would say, yeah.
Yeah.
If he could stay coherent.
He's no Scott Hall.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Or Scott Steiner. That's even worse.
Scott Steiner. Yeah. This is a Big Bang. This is a Big Bang Theory. We're not doing Scott Steiner.
No, yeah, that's all right. 3.14% of pie
equals banana.
Equals a half full stomach. Bitch.
All right, another little piece of news.
He's fat.
Another little piece of news that's not quite as Well, it's sad, really, is Tommy is not going to be participating at Unstoppable tomorrow night.
Oh, no, Tommy.
No, Tommy. Yeah, it was on the news internet sites today that Triple H has officially confirmed that he is being pulled due to injuries.
How is it Triple H? They're saying it's Triple H reporting it, but has WWE actually reported it on their website?
I haven't seen
it. So I'm confused on that. Like, yeah. Why are they like making such a big deal about, you know, Sami Zayn and, you know, if any, I'm sure if this was to happen to Finn Balor, they'd be on top. They'd be covering that too. But yeah. It seems like they're already kind of giving Tommy like the
second degree kind of like,
yeah, thing. Like you're a mid-carder, buddy. That's about it.
That's sad. I don't know if that's exactly their intentions though, but yeah,
you know, perception is, you know, goes so far, right?
Yeah. But, that sucks that he's not going to be in that three-way. Luckily, it is a three-way, so the three-way just goes to a one-on-one between Tyler Breeze and Finn Balor. So, I mean, that still should be a pretty good match. You know, we kind of previewed last week Unstoppable, but since there is a change to the card, who you got in that match between Tyler Breeze and Finn Balor?
Balor.
Chris?
Well, see, last week you said you wanted Breeze to win because you wanted him to be squashed by Owens.
Assuming that Owens wasn't going to have an opponent. But apparently their awful overdub on the last episode of NXT pretty much solidified that match is still happening.
Uh-huh.
I guess I'm going with Finn.
All right. I'm going to go with Finn as well.
Honestly, though, my anticipation's cut in half. I'm like at a 4.
Really? Just with what's his name being taken out? With the tongue.
Look, you already forgot his name. He's already an afterthought.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you know, Breeze had his moments in the main event picture for the title. He's had one-on-one matches for the title. He's been in a Fatal NXT special main event before.
That was called Fatal 4-Way. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And even if he does win that match, he ain't beating Owens.
Or Zayn.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
So
no,
at this point,
I see Balor more of a threat.
Am I looking forward to the match now? Not so much.
No.
To me, it's a foregone conclusion.
Mm. Yeah.
And it take away some of the
oomph. Some of the sparkle from the match.
Also some of the unpredictability.
Mr. Sparkle!
Thank you, Chris.
Yes. Maybe a time to go home and watch a Marvel movie.
Dude, see what you started last week?
It was totally an accident.
Yeah, it was like off cuff, you know, and then this guy over here, he hears it. He's over here spitting up liquids everywhere, and like, it's the funniest you would think.
Chicken biscuit still stuck in my nose, man. It's been a week.
A Marvel movie.
Yeah.
All right. So, you mentioned the bad dubbing on NXT. Well, I guess we're officially moving out of the news segment and into our NXT segment, going down to the neighborhood. Yeah. Oh, God. That was so terrible. It was, like, cringeworthy.
I wish I was paying more attention to it, because I know we talked about this earlier, and I'm like, I don't know.
You didn't notice it?
No, I wasn't really paying attention to it.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. I guess since I have to edit this show every week, I've kind of, my ears become attuned to editing type things. And when I heard, you know, that on NXT, I was like, oh, that's a terrible editing job. You know,
and amateurs.
Yeah.
And then for me, knowing that this was taped 6 months ago, for them to sneak something that happened a few weeks ago into it, I was like, okay, I'm going to pay attention to this. And it sounded off. And then they half-assed it. They didn't even go the full extra mile and at least add some crowd reaction to it. Like, okay, it's official. Zayn's going to wrestle after all. You would expect a huge pop.
Yeah.
No, nothing.
No.
A fart in church, not even.
You and your farts in church.
And they had the camera on Owens the entire time. Like, it just felt, and then the rest of the time, after that spliced moment, both of them are on the screen at the same time. It just was presented off.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I mean, all that aside, what we got out of it is pretty much the match is still going to happen, regardless of Sami Zayn being injured or not. So that makes me a little suspicious of, is he really hurt badly? And they're just kind of like, well, screw it. We're just going to have him actually wrestle the match. And after the match, after he's done, then we'll take him off TV. Then we'll fix him, which is, geez, man. I don't know. I mean, for his long-term health and safety, that kind of worries me a little bit. But then again, it's just kind of speculation on our behalf.
He lost to Cena already. It's not going to go any higher than that.
And with everything they're doing with the Performance Center and everything, I say what you will about WWE, I do have faith in them that they're doing I think they have right now. They have the best people in check to make sure that they're not going to be.
We're not going to have another CM Punk scenario.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Ever. Yeah.
Hopefully not.
I love the Bane Batman reaction from the two. Like, Owens calculating, he's like, I know you're hurt. I know where you're hurt.
Yeah.
And I'm going to finish the job.
Yeah.
I'm going to kill you, basically. I loved it. Not even looking at him with his back turned. With his back turned. Yeah. That's how much balls that was really the guy's
cool.
got.
That was really cool. I liked it.
That's nothing compared to what happened last night. We'll get to that part later.
That being said, are you still looking forward to the match?
I'll answer that later.
Okay. Trav, do you want to answer that now or later?
Anticipation for...
for the match between Owens and Zayn.
Not a lot of anticipation because of the injury. I don't know if we did predictions or not, but Owens, I think he's still going to be on top of that one.
Yeah, I don't see Sami Zayn getting
especially
the win.
Especially injured one. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What else happened on NXT this past week that we want to highlight here?
Big ups to Carmella.
All right.
The match was eh, but she's really coming into her own microphone-wise. Mm-hmm. It's kind of easy to say because she pretty much copied the guy's shtick.
Yeah.
But it wasn't to the point where not only was it not bad, it was actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Like her, you could see, even though she's mimicking her partners, you could tell that there was a bit of her doing that promo, doing the whole spiel, and it came across really good.
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, I think we mentioned this last week, that Carmella is starting to assimilate herself a little bit more into the team, and I like it. Yeah. You know,
my only, I guess, criticism of not just that promo, but just what I've noticed, observed in NXT just in general with the women, whenever they do promos or walking in the ring or whatever, there's a lot of like, yeah, Chris, we can't see because it's not a video, but Chris is doing it perfectly well. Like, there's so many like hand motions and gyrations and all kinds of like twists and turns. It's like, just talk. I mean, you know, use your hands if you need to, but Chris is going crazy over here. But
he's Vogue.
Yeah. Chris is a gesticulating fool right now.
Mm.
Ooh. Oh, my. Oh, God. I'm glad this isn't a video podcast. Holy crap. That was
But anyway, that's...
That was vulgar.
But I don't know if y'all agree with that or not, but that's just something that I noticed.
Either you have the skill in the ring to not have to do all that stuff, or you're lacking enough skill in the ring that you have to compensate somehow.
It's like... That was like tenfold with Dana Brooke or whatever. She's mm-hmm. still doing the twisty thing. I don't know what you call it.
Ugh, Dana Brooke.
XX question, XX triangle square.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. I'm not digging it. I'm still not digging her. But okay, another thing, you know, why don't we talk a little bit about Rhino and Baron Corbin?
I don't know where it happened that the crowd suddenly like thinks Baron Corbin's like a pile of crap. Like they're turning now. Yeah, he's like, okay.
Yeah, I'm glad that they finally caught up to the rest of us, because we've been kind of saying that, you know, we're not really digging Baron Corbin.
I'm digging the package. There just wasn't a direction to it. What? There wasn't...
The Lost Able Up package. Yeah.
The presentation. I like the presentation of Corbin.
Yeah.
But there was no antagonist or protagonist to pair him up against. To really solidify his core
squash
value.
He was doing squash matches. That was pretty much it.
Yeah, and the thing with Bull could have been that, but it wound up not being that.
Yeah, it fell flat because he was like the wrong person to do with it.
Yeah.
Between what's going on right now with Rhino and the last couple of house shows they've had on the road where he's like squashing, like trashing ECW history guys. Like he beat Tommy Dreamer one night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you're going to have Baron Corbin as the guy to squash the ECW past and be the Baron Corbin future, there's a direction for him.
No, that's null and void.
At least for me.
That's null and void. Where is that on TV? I don't see that.
Well, it's starting on TV with Rhino because Rhino is bringing... The only reason Rhino's got credibility right now is because of his past in ECW.
Right.
You know, so once...
Well, I'm saying...
Once it gets fleshed out further on television... You'll catch up to where I'm at, even though they'll show the stuff on TV.
Up with Chris.
Oh yeah, Chris here.
Well, they had opportunity. Baron was cutting a promo on Rhino, right?
Right.
And where was all that?
I'm just sitting back and watching you two go at it on this one.
Again, that goes back to NXT being taped 6 months in advance, and then you can't splice in another audible job with Corbin and Rhino when you're really just watching Corbin and Rhino just to beat the hell out of each other. Which is what they did. Actually, Rhino goring the security officials.
I don't know.
That felt Attitude Era-ish.
I don't know. I hope they're not going that route, honestly, because it's been done to death, like, bringing up ECW Legacy. Like, yeah. I especially see it. I think back on TNA.
Yes. Because
they harp on that left and right like crazy. And I'll get vibes of TNA, and you don't want that on your WWE product.
The only problem is WWE is under the expectations that you don't, that you just forget about TNA. If we can't, that's our problem. For the most part, the ECW faithful, as long as it's done right, they can rehash that shit all day. You know, they're still buying up the DVDs. They're still watching the old stuff on the network.
As
long as it's done right. Yeah, for example, did you expect Rhino's crowd reactions and pop and his work to come out as good as it has on NXT so far? Did any of y'all see that coming?
The reactions, no, but I expect that from him, yes.
Yeah. He's doing his part well, I think.
Yeah. I'm glad that he's getting the reaction that he is.
Yeah.
And I said that on past episodes. I love the reaction he's been getting.
Again, it goes back to, well, look who's on the other side of the ring. When you're talking about Baron Corbin, well, sure, why not? You know.
And I think that's why they started, to answer your question, I think that's why the fans did turn on Baron, was because he's going against Rhino. Everybody loves Rhino. So obviously now you wear a face, you're fighting him, you're a heel now, buddy.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not.
Reverse Cena syndrome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So does that mean that they're going to have a match at Unstoppable, right?
Yeah. They announced it.
Did we cover that last week?
Kind of, sort of, maybe. I want Rhino to win.
Okay.
I'm at an 8 for it.
I don't know if I say I'm that high. I'm probably maybe a 6.5 or a 7. But, yeah, I'd like to see Rhino win this.
It's kind of hard for me to be excited for that because I don't really know what Baron can do.
As far as the build from the last takeover to this one and nobody getting injured so far, that's got the most consistency. You know, they threw together the women's tag match. You know, they were doing separate things, and instead of having two separate matches to solidify their storylines, let's just mismatch them together for that. There's not that much consistency in a tag match between those two. The triple threat becoming a one-on-one
There's enough stuff between Bayley and Charlotte to justify it. Their opponents, on the other hand, not so much. Yeah. But on the face team, there's some history there.
Yeah. I don't know.
So you're wrong, Chris.
Two out of three, you got to vote. Get out.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, did y'all... there was a match with Sasha Banks. She's going against Black Shorts. Or Gray Shorts. What was it? What were they calling her? They weren't calling her...
I think they were calling her Black
Shorts. I wasn't paying attention like to that.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny. I don't know. I guess it was funny. That's going to be the thing now.
I don't know who the hell that chick was.
She's doing good.
Developmental.
Though.
Yeah.
She's doing good.
She's an NXT developmental talent.
Yeah, she's doing all right.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. All right. Other than that, just, hey, Unstoppable's coming up, and we look forward to watching it tomorrow night. Maybe next week we'll have a lot of good stuff to talk about from there, because so far there hasn't been one NXT takeover that's really disappointed yet.
I'm at a 6 for it, though.
Okay.
It's my least anticipated out of the NXT specials we've had so far.
That's interesting you say that. Because there was a promo that they aired, or the only promo that I've been seeing on TV about it, about a huge force coming in, and you were saying, you're freaking out. Oh, it's
Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is the rumor going into it, tomorrow, that Samoa Joe will
finally
show up.
So because of that by itself, Chris, I'm really surprised you're just not like, unless you're trying purposely not to get your hopes up for it.
No, it's not that. And Tommy being out, I was really looking forward to the dynamic of the triple threat match.
Because they built it up so well.
Yeah. The uncertainty of Owen Zane kind of had me up in the air a little bit. And honestly, I don't know. We never really picked what direction we're going, but I'm guessing we're going to WWE next. Because why do I want to watch Zane Owens when I want to watch Owen Cena at freaking Elimination Chamber?
Yeah.
You know, again, the problem of, hey, finish what you started here before you go to the next step. And already, like, Payback was like, meh, because now Elimination Chambers are coming up, and they already announced all that. Now Unstoppable's like, eh, because I'm going to be there at freaking Elimination Chamber for Cena Owens and that. And after that promo, so many thoughts popped into my head about NXT and WWE. You
know. Well, then, are we going to go ahead and transition into WWE then?
I think we already did.
All right. Yeah. Boom. Monday Night Raw. Pretty good episode for several things. One of those things that was pretty good was the surprise of Kevin Owens showing up and not challenging for the U.S. title against John Cena. That was that right there. The fact that he just said, I don't want your title. Like, that right there was enough of a swerve for me. Yeah. On top of the fact that, holy crap, it's Kevin Owens on WWE TV, you know, on main roster TV. That was really cool. But the promo itself, oh God, I loved it. I loved it so much.
Here's,
go ahead.
All I was going to say was, it almost felt like Owens, I'm trying to think of this as just casual fan, mm-hmm. you know, not knowing who he is. You gotta wonder, like, why he's doing what he's doing, like, why he's saying what he's saying. Because just looking at him, he's not a whole lot.
He's a fat ass that just got off the couch and submitted a Tuppenup video, he's in the ring.
Not only that, it's his delivery of his lines. He was very kind of slow and not really intense. What it was that got me hooked was when Cena got in his face saying, "Hey, let me give you some veteran advice." He's like, bitch, I've been here for 15 years. I may not have been on this TV.
Yeah.
But I've been here longer than you.
Yeah.
That right there sold me on him.
Mm-hmm.
And that right there is what scares me. This whole thing with Cena and the United States Championship Open Challenge was that eventually someone had to be put over in a victory.
Yeah.
And they didn't do it with Zayn. They didn't do it with Rusev. If you're going to find a way to not put over in a victory your NXT champion, then how much prestige does the NXT champion have over the mid-card? How much prestige or how much potential do the rest of the NXT guys really have over a mid-card title?
Yeah.
I gotta nitpick on that one.
Go for it.
It's not the mid-card title. It's John Cena.
Okay. I can see that. I can see that a lot.
Again.
I see what you're saying.
You mentioned it earlier. This guy's been around for a lot longer than John Cena. If he can't beat John Cena, then why should he even go up to the main roster?
No, I agree with you. I think that Owens should be put over.
And that's where
I don't know if it's gonna happen.
I don't think it'll happen.
That's where my like random guest came in to build up battleground as WWE versus NXT. And they already planted the seeds by having Owens versus Cena. And if somehow Owens hook or crook, the titles aren't on the line here. This isn't NXT title versus US title.
That is true.
This is just Cena Owens one-on-one. That's an easy protected loss for Cena, even if he gets a pinfall, let alone shenanigans. You know,
they'll probably be shenanigans considering how Kevin Owens is.
Yeah. So if this is
he's an asshole.
And on top of that, again, 2 weeks after Chamber, we're getting the Battleground pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So if this is the seed that plants the fruit of NXT versus WWE, Owens needs to go over on Cena.
Yeah. And if it's not for the U.S. title, which you just mentioned right there that it's not for either title, I thought it was going to be for the U.S. title, but now that you're saying it's not.
It's like a grudge match.
Yeah.
Then I'm really okay with Cena actually losing a match, you know? Because over the course of the last year, they haven't been afraid to have Cena lose, but I think that with him holding the title, he can't just lose the title. So if it's a non-title match, sure, screw it. Why not? Have him lose that match. I'm fine with it. And yeah, if that makes more stuff down the line between NXT, WWE, or maybe even not that grandiose, maybe just Kevin Owens versus Cena. Yeah, why not? That'd be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
All right.
That alone made my cheap seat purchase worth it.
Yes. Yeah.
You just mentioned Payback. What do we think of Payback?
I thought it was good. But it wasn't spectacular. Yeah. I mean, there was enough to it there where I was like, okay, you know, that was a decent show.
I think the word I was looking for was ambitious.
Why is that?
It was good. Because I didn't see a lot of stuff coming the way it did. I certainly wasn't expecting Cesaro Kid and New Day to be what it was. Especially with my standards being high for that match.
Yeah.
It still blew my expectations away.
Let's talk about that match.
You know what? We've been using this word a lot to describe a lot of stuff that we see in Lucha Underground, which is fun. Lucha Underground stuff is fun, but that match, New Day versus K-Swiss,
match of the week candidate,
that was a fun match. I say match of the week candidate for me as well.
It's a candidate for me.
It was my pick.
God damn it. we'll have to circle back around this, but that was my pick. It is a candidate. It might be back to my pick. There's something else we'll come back to.
Yeah. But I kind of feel the same way you guys feel. Where for the pay-per-view, it was match of the night for the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
For WWE programming, best match out of WWE programming. Match of the week? I don't know. There's still competition.
I don't think there was a moment in Payback at all where I thought, you know what? I'd rather be taking a bathroom break. I'd rather be checking a sports score. I'd rather be checking my Facebook and Twitter. For the most part, everything at least had my attention.
Mm-hmm. And it's not just like the cool spots, which there were cool spots in that match, but it was also some of the little nuances and shenanigans, like Xavier Woods being the ultimate hype man outside on the ring. Like,
this generation's Flavor Flav, give that man a clock.
Yeah, man, he was just being very entertaining and very funny outside of the ring, just yelling random crap.
Xavier Woods!
Thank you, Chris.
I enjoyed that. There was that one segment, I think during the second part of it, when Kid was just taking them all out.
Mm-hmm.
Left and right. Yeah. That was beautifully done. Oh.
Yeah, well, there was that one chain of moves where it was like a catapult, a spine buster into the big swing with the drop kick. God, that was crazy. It was really
cool. That was good, but up until when that was superseded by the Tyson comeback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just great all around. And
Natalya played her part well. Uh-huh. Xavier played his part well. I was kind of – they teased it towards the end after the second fall.
I think it was the second fall, yeah.
When Xavier got up on the thing and says,
Freebird rules!
Freebird rules! And he started taking on his jacket, and that's when Natalya pulled him right down. I really dug that. And I was kind of hoping they were going to just kind of flip it around a little bit.
Go along with it, yeah. But they didn't, but still. I mean, if that was just something that Xavier Woods just came up with on the fly, more kudos to Xavier Woods. Like, he's really doing his part in that team.
He is the brain.
He is the brains, yeah. All right. So back to Raw then. On Raw,
chamber match.
Yeah, on Raw we find out that they're going to be in a chamber match, and they're all flummoxed about it. Like, how's that going to work? Am I going to be in the chamber with this and that? And we're like, I don't know. We'll find out later. So that was kind of funny, but I still am like, how are they going to actually do this? Because we talked about this last week. We said, well, it'll probably be three teams and each member in a pod.
Or four teams and their partners in a pod.
Yeah. But it looks like that there are going to be six 12
people
teams,
total
12 people in the chamber. So
12, not 13.
Right. Yeah. So you
so
are going to have...
people per pod. Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to have two teams start the match and four teams in the four pods where they're going to have to get real buddy-buddy with each other.
Is it going
to
be tornado rules?
One team gets pinned, one person gets pinned, that team is out.
Because I would really hate it if like a team comes out of the pod and have to wait in the turnbuckle.
Yeah, that would be terrible. It should be tornado. It should be tornado. Which... I'm just like curious now. Like, I want to see what's going to happen with this match just for the sheer rules of how it's going to work out.
Yeah.
You know?
The first time of anything, the curiosity gets the best of your interest. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
And let's talk about the build up of that. You know, they had the match, of course, shenanigans. People started coming out to set up the match.
Yeah.
All the teams coming out.
Who are the teams?
We have, of course, the champs, New Day. We have,
Kid Cesaro.
Kid Cesaro. We have,
The Matadores, Lucha Dragons.
Ascension
and Primetime Players.
PTP.
Yeah.
Primetime Players. That was, I don't know, Spotlight? Is that a right word for him? But that
maybe,
was,
yeah.
Not really Spotlight.
They had their little moment.
Yeah, just laying waste. Literally like tossing, was it Kofi that he tossed out of the ring?
Yeah.
And did y'all catch that?
It helped that they flashed that Mega Dad of the Year in the beginning for Tyson, for Titus O'Neil, winning that award for being such a good dad. More incentive for you to cheer these guys.
Yeah, I'm really, really, really interested to see if they're finally going to pull the trigger on this renewal of the Primetime Players, because it's a chamber match. So if they wind up winning, whoever was the champ or whoever was formerly feuding for the title, they can easily be saying, well, they just kind of snuck in and got it, and that's it. Like, you don't have to go through the storyline and this and that to finally get to them. These guys have been on the back burner, they've been making fun of everybody, throw them in the match, and then boom, they win.
It's not even that. The reason it took so long for Zack Ryder to get the push that he ultimately kind of did deserve was because the popularity that the groundswell popularity he had wasn't mainstream popularity. It was internet only fan popularity.
Right.
You've got Darren Young that's gotten popularity for getting out of the closet.
Yeah.
You've got Titus O'Neil gaining popularity for being dad of the year. Uh-huh. That's not underground wrestling fan only. That's mainstream. That's casual fans will see that and be like, I like them.
Yeah.
So when you have the casual fans cheering for those guys for those reasons, they're going to be shot straight up.
Yeah.
It wouldn't shock me at all if Primetime winds up leaving the chamber with those belts.
Yeah, I'd like it. I mean, as much as we're enjoying the feud of New Day versus K-Swiss, as much as I'm enjoying that, I really wouldn't mind if Primetime players just came out with the titles.
New Day and K-Swiss are doing so good, you don't even need the titles on them.
Yeah.
That could be a number one contender feud up to SummerSlam.
Or we could have another three-team feud going here between K-Swiss, Primetime Players, and New Day.
Primetime Players cutting promos on both those teams?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll work. I like everything about this. But then, of course, you also have another really great team in there, Lucha Dragons.
Eh.
I really want to see what they're going to wind up doing. I mean, they came out
especially
NXT with a
chamber.
Lot of... Yeah, they came out NXT someone's with
gonna
a lot of momentum.
Someone's going to climb the top of that cage.
Yeah, I want to see what Kalisto's going to do in the chamber itself. Specifically Kalisto. Yeah. Sin Cara... Eh.
He's not going to do anything.
Yeah.
He's going to get hurt.
All right.
To a lesser extent...
Yeah?
Man up. I'm curious to see if they're going to grab the... There's going to be a huge spotlight on that tag team chamber match. I want to see if this section will step up and actually entertain me.
Yeah.
This is going to be my make or break moment. If the Ascension does something here to keep my attention in them, vested in them, then I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and let them do what they're doing.
Yeah.
If they just suck balls the entire time, then that's one less team on the roster.
See, that's the thing about Ascension for a minute. There's nothing that really, when they get in the ring, there's nothing that stands out. For me.
You know what did it for me though? Their squashing of Mandow and Axelmania on the pay per view.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming.
I didn't either. Run with it. Show me something. You got my attention. Mm-hmm. Now do something with it.
Yeah,
and that's where Chamber.
All they
comes
did
in.
Is they ran out to be part of the 16 thing, and they got beat down during that 16 thing.
Oh yeah, on Raw, you're right.
Yeah.
So I don't see them going anywhere. Maybe back to NXT.
Not necessarily going anywhere. Just do something to keep me interested in you instead of just checking out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We haven't talked about the other chamber match at Elimination Chamber.
Who's in that match, Abel?
Well, it's for the Intercontinental Championship, and we've got Sheamus, the big guy! Ziggler?
Uh-huh.
Another big dude. I can't remember who.
R-Truth is in it.
Yeah, R-Truth. Ooh, I'm blanking on the other two.
Rusev.
Rusev. And one more.
It's not Stardust.
Yeah, because he fought in a match. But he
Barrett!
Lost. No, it was...
Barrett's in it.
Is
we said Ziggler, right?
Yeah. Barrett's in it.
Yeah.
So that's the six.
That's the six?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that. I'm cool with those people contending for an Intercontinental Championship.
A first. Another first.
I would...
Yeah.
I would laugh... So hard. If Rusev winds up winning this. And okay.
All that bullshit over the U.S. title.
Yeah, all that over the U.S. title. And I'm gonna get the Intercontinental title. That would be so funny to me. And I'd be okay with it. I think the storyline with him and Lana can continue. And now Lana and Ziggler.
Which
and
was
him.
Not funny. You want to talk about awkward? That was super duper nitricized force. That was so rushed.
Uh-huh.
Did that have to happen on the same episode?
No, it didn't.
No.
No. I didn't mind it happening. And I kind of liked it. And I thought, okay, well, this is a little different. All right. This is how she's going to stick it to Rusev.
Save it for SmackDown.
Yes. You're right. I agree with you on that. That they could have had this in two separate episodes of two different shows.
But
have one on Raw, one on
SmackDown.
Unfortunately, yeah, you're right. Yeah, no way. Why can't
blow a load like that on SmackDown?
Well, maybe if you start blowing more loads on SmackDown, maybe people will have to tune in.
Roman Reigns is coming back to SmackDown.
That's a load I don't want to blow.
You don't hear him say that much.
Blowman Reigns.
Make it a sign, Abel.
I'll try. See if I can sneak that in there. But what? Travis, what do you think about the make-out session with Lana?
It was very awkward, very forced. It almost looked like they did the whole kiss thing, and then they stood there. I was thinking Rusev missed his cue to come out. That's why they did it again.
Yeah. And rewind it even further. I'm sorry, guys. If what I saw in there is the clip of Dolph Ziggler as a comedian, he's got as much chance of being a stand-up comedian successfully as you do, Abel.
Oh,
I don't know if that was his comedian stuff.
He wasn't trying. That wasn't a Dolph Ziggler.
Oh, before the kiss, you mean? Yeah, he's not funny. Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of like weird.
I'm trying to think.
He tried to like what he said. Oh, I'm so hurt because of my scar or something like that.
What does that have to do with the hockey playoffs?
Saying, like, I'm still, you know, he's saying I'm still pretty or something like that. Yeah, or, I'm hideous.
Oh, I'm hideous. Slip away. Yeah, like dude, that
like you can barely see it. Like, I don't know. Yeah,
I don't know. That felt more forced than the stuff with Lana.
He is not Stuntman Mike from Death Proof.
And here's the thing, you have a face with Ziggler, and you want to put a hot chick on him. Uh-huh. Well, you do that, and then people are going to start resenting the baby face that has the hot chick. Like, screw this guy. He's got the looks, and he's got the chick. Why do I like this guy? So now you'll probably start screwing up.
We do a lot of armchair booking, but it's very simple. This should have happened after Ziggler won the title. Ziggler wins the title. The next night, Lana comes out like, oh, I got the title and the babe. And then Rusev starts to feud with Ziggler. And then, hey, first title match, Lana turns and goes to Rusev. I got you the entire time. You know? This splitting of Lana and Rusev, it's going to... Like, what's Rusev to do? Like, do you think him becoming Intercontinental Champion...
Did we talk about this already? No, we talked about this on Sunday when we were watching the big movie, right?
Yeah, like where does Rusev? Is he going to get the same heat without Lana?
No, he won't.
Is he going to get the same heat with the Intercontinental title instead of trying to feud for the U.S. title? Mm. This is Del Rio post losing the announcer guy.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, what do you do with Lana? Honestly, like, is she just going to be the random Russian chick with baby faces now?
Or is she going to have the one episode with Kofi Kingston and just ditch the accents? Like, hey, I thought you were Russian. Like, no.
Yeah,
I was kind of thinking there were because. I was thinking originally when there was rumors that they were going to break them off and then she was going to turn face, all that. I was thinking, okay, she's going to get split off and she's going to go off with, and like some divas would come up next, you know, and then start Americanizing her.
Yeah.
And then making her lose her accent and things like that. So that's the way I thought it was going
to
go. But
I think that would be the most quote unquote organic way to actually make Lana lose the accent. That would be the best way to actually do that.
But now she's just gonna be like the random chick with the baby face.
You know what crossed my mind? If for some reason during the split somebody like hurt Lana physically, to have Rusev come out of Defender and somehow have both of them turn into baby face. Like Lana was in there, it's like, I didn't want you to tap out, I didn't want you to get hurt. I care about you, and I was expecting Rusev to have the soft side. You know, and slowly build to having them both turn as a couple, you know?
Maybe.
At least that would have felt more organic than watching Lana and Ziggler make out 45 minutes after getting dumped at the curb.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I don't know. It's that you tread, you know, light water when it comes to trying to mess with stuff that already works and you're trying to break
and
up
that's the
soon.
Other thing that was awkward. Me as a wrestling fan... I already know that Lana and Rusev are a legitimate couple and they're living together in Memphis, and 45 minutes later, Lana's force kissing this other dude.
Yeah.
Like, it does. If this was on Total, if their relationship was on Total Divas, this storyline wouldn't be happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
Which is something they should have done.
Yeah.
Sadly. They should have put these two guys on Total Divas so that you could actually see the softer side of the Russian and actually fall for this, have sympathetic babyface heat for the Russian trying to fulfill the American dream of being a wrestler in America.
Bulgarian.
Whatever.
My idea of what was going to happen on Raw was totally different from everything that happened.
What was your idea?
Stricken with guilt for costing the match and everything, Lana was going to come out, bring the European title out as a gift, as a peace offering to Rusev.
Mm-hmm.
And he would be the European champion.
Then he'd bend her over and...
Nah. We're not that quite yet.
Machka!
Yeah. I don't know if that will work very well, but that's what I was thinking was going to happen.
Well, so much for that.
All right. There were some other things that happened on the Raw last night.
I hope so. It's 3 hours long.
Ambrose. Let's talk a little bit about him. He got himself a match against Seth, one-on-one. Chris, why are you laughing?
Reason number 86 why I'm really liking Ambrose right now.
Yeah?
He made that so original. Yeah. Like, hey, I beat you. So guess what? I'm going to give you a chance at a rematch. The only stipulation for me, you need to put that belt on the line.
Yeah.
I've never heard that.
Yeah.
Presented that way.
That was very clever. I really liked it.
Fit his character perfectly.
Yes.
And out of the enough of the Viper stuff with Orton, and we know how we felt about Reigns, even building up to WrestleMania. This is the freshest feud so far, and the most optimism of somebody legitimately beating Rollins for the title.
Which, that says a lot for the fact that this feud should have happened a year ago. Yeah. we moaned and complained.
And did happen a year ago. And then Ambrose took a break to go film a movie.
Yeah.
So he had to get...
Yeah, remember the whole cinder block thing?
Yeah.
So...
Which they, if you did forget, they brought it back on Raw.
They brought it back, yeah. Yeah. So I'm kind of digging it. Even though I feel like somewhere in between this last year, somebody pressed the pause button on that feud and now they're finally starting it up. Mm-hmm. It's like we watched the opening credits and then somebody hit pause and like... Wait, it's just opening credits. Well, hold on, I forgot to get my popcorn. And here it is an hour later, you're finally watching the movie. You know, that's kind of how I feel about it, but I'm still like...
How do you make popcorn for an hour?
I don't know.
Jiffy Pop, man. Just shake it on the thing. Just wait.
Yeah.
You need microwave stuff now.
Well, you know.
Like a minute.
Yeah. If you want to be a hipster and go and actually get the corn seeds themselves and husk them out of the...
Who would do that?
I don't know, hipsters.
Hipsters.
Corey Graves.
Goddamn hipster.
All right, so yeah, what do you guys think about? Well, Travis, what do you think about Ambrose?
Man, he's such a lunatic, and he's on the fringe all the time. He wears jeans. I don't know. No, it's cool. Yeah, I agree with. I agree with Chris. Oddly enough, I do. I like how he presented the promo on that. So. But I don't know. It's still not predictable. I mean, it's still not, like...
unstable?
No. Yeah, well, he's that, too. No, I...
You I still think Rollins is leaving the chamber with
yeah. I don't...
Hand over fist.
Oh, yeah. I still... Yeah. He's leaving. Yeah. I don't think Ambrose is winning this year. I really don't. But I'm still going to be entertained by the match.
Okay. If they do take the title off of Rollins, do you think it should be... one of the former Shield members that takes it from him, either Ambrose or Reigns. Oh, look, for the
other than Lesnar, the only one that makes sense are Ambrose or Reigns. Ambrose beats Rollins at Elimination Chamber. 2 weeks later, Rollins gets the belt back from Ambrose. They do a rubber match. Rollins beats Ambrose. The next night, hey, I've beaten everybody. Who's left? Done.
They still need to account for somehow somebody lifting the suspension. Because the whole reason why we're not seeing Brock is because he's suspended indefinitely, according to Stephanie.
There has to be a reason for them to release the suspension.
Yeah. And I don't know what that reason would be. Why would the authority...
Who can take the... Got it.
You got
Reigns.
It?
Reigns beats Rollins.
And the authority goes running to Paul Heyman and be like, help, we need your monster.
Yeah, that's going to
do
it.
There you have it, yeah.
Here's what I was going to say just a few minutes ago was, I'm okay, now that it's past WrestleMania, I'm okay with Reigns winning the title.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't bear it at WrestleMania. So, yeah, if he beats Rollins for the title, I'm cool with that.
All right. Well, that was a nice bit of fantasy booking there. But I'm optimistic for what they're doing with Ambrose and the title picture right now. Because when you think about it, aside from Orton, you have three guys that are young guys that people like that are feuding for the title. You know, right. Ambrose, Rollins, Reigns to a certain extent with the liking part. But still, it's like new people. It's not Cena and Orton and, you know, people that you've seen over and over and over for the last 10 years. So kudos on that.
Before we go any further,
yes.
For the most part, we've already covered four matches that are happening at Elimination Chamber.
Mm-hmm.
Rollins-Ambrose, IC Chamber, Tag Team Chamber, Cena Owens. Those four matches alone. Is it worth $9.99 on the network?
Oh, yeah.
Is it worth $50 in HD?
Maybe.
Where are we going with
just
that?
Gauging interest so far.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if I would... No, it feels like forever since I paid $50 for a pay-per-view. It's hard for me
to
say.
It's like, why would we have ever paid $50 for a pay-per-view? We're like, I don't know, I feel so spoiled now just paying the $9.99. Mm. But, you know, that's the world that we live in now with the network, so whatever. Okay, so let's move on. Speaking of, you know, new guys on the roster and this and that, we have Bo Dallas and Adrian Neville working a program together. WWE TV, apparently, now.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. I mean, Bo Dallas has been on the roster for about a year or so, but, you know, he hasn't really done a whole lot of anything. So, him and Neville...
He grew some nasty facial hair.
Yeah, he did.
Thank God he shaved it.
Him and Neville? Are we gonna... How do we feel about this?
It's the best they can do with both of his talents right now, because they're not willing to put them both over.
Mm-hmm.
So why not let them continue their feud from NXT? I'm okay with it.
The only slight, very slight issue I had...
It's going to cut into Barrett fighting Neville.
No. Yeah.
The only issue I had, if the casual fan realized that before Seth Rollins being a former NXT, the first NXT champion, and Neville being one of the last NXT champions, that Bo Dallas was also an NXT champion, and he's been doing what for the past year? That kind of
Jack Squat.
Yeah. So how... That doesn't really shine a bright light on your NXT
brand,
roster, title, heritage, lack thereof.
Did all this happen after the Kevin Owens thing or before the Kevin Owens thing?
What do you mean?
Did the stuff with Bo... It happen after?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm glad, because if they were at first putting over... The NXT champion was Bo Dallas, and then... Oh my God, it's Kevin Owens, the current NXT champion. Like, oh, great, so, yeah.
A guy that's been on the roster for a year and hasn't done the square root of Jack, and then Beer Drinker 101, Potbelly, comes out to Fasina.
I'm glad they did it the other way around then. But yeah, I see your point. But okay.
I didn't think about that, but yeah.
Yeah. I'm okay with this happening. I'm okay with them maybe having a program. I just hope it's not like rehash for rehash sake. Like, oh, these guys had a really good feud down at NXT. Let's put it on the main roster and see what happens, and that's it. I like the fact that Barrett is still quasi-involved with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, this might have been his exit from this program with Neville.
So.
Yeah, I'm already sick of Barrett Neville.
Yeah. How many times have they fought already?
I'm sick of Barrett, period. I'm sick of King Barrett. That's what I'm sick of. I'm sick of the scepter. I'm sick of the cape. I'm sick of the crown.
Every heel that wins that tournament is going to have that gimmick.
Yeah, why? Booker. You don't have to. Like
Mabel.
Yeah.
I did dig when Sheamus did it, because he had the cloak in the weird shaped crown. Yeah.
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 Okay, there was one little bit.
You liked it because it's different.
Yeah. Here's the thing about I think it was Raw when Barrett did this. He got on the announce table and says, "You come out here in your ridiculous outfit." it was funny, Abel.
Ha 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 ha. All right. Last thing that I could tell from our notes here is Naomi and Paige. Naomi came out. She had a match. Number one, or not number one contender, but it was the actual Divas title. It was for the title, which, all right, you're going to throw that on free TV. Sure, why not? You had Steph get rid of Brie. So it was going to be the 2-on-1 with Tamina and Naomi. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe they're going to pull the trigger on Naomi. I don't know. It feels kind of weird. I'm not sure how I'm liking this. But the match itself was, you know, decent enough. And then you had your breakdown, and title didn't change hands, and out comes Paige. And okay, like, all the optimism that I had for what they're doing with Naomi kind of got curtailed there by the fact that, oh, no, wait, now Paige is back. So all the spotlight is going to be on Paige. All the stuff that they could have done with Naomi, forget about her. Guess who's back?
Well, that's the whole reason for Naomi's heel turn, was because Paige took her number one contender spot.
Yeah, I know. I just feel like the focus is now going to be on Paige.
Well, no, what they need to do is have Paige versus Naomi for...
number one contendership?
Not only that, just... have Naomi beat Paige clean, simple.
Yeah.
That's what they need to do if they really want to push her.
And then next on the agenda, with Paige now back in there, separate Bree and Nikki.
Yeah.
That's already gotten old. Again, I'm still trying to figure out what they did for them to become faces all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And I'm already getting bored of it.
I'm still trying to figure out why Bree is cool with playing second fiddle to Nikki.
Yeah.
Aside from, you know, all the storyline and why they're cool. But, like, Bree was the more competent wrestler for a long time. Bree was the one.
I think she still is, honestly.
Yeah. Bree was the one who, like, would actually wrestle and wrestle circles around the rest of the divas. Like, everybody thought she was going to be the standout. You know, okay, this is the one that can wrestle and the other one has the boobs. Yeah. You know? But now it's like, oh, the one with boobs can wrestle now too. Okay, great. Well, what are you going to do with Brian's woman? You know, nothing. Like,
make her wear flannel.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll do it. Like,
and yes, strut.
Yeah. I want to see them as both singles. Like, yeah, we understand they're twins. Yeah, they're sisters, whatever, this and that. Let them both compete in the division separately. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wouldn't mind that.
They both have their own characters. Now, Brie has separate music, as shitty as it is.
Yeah.
But she has her own music, her own image now of her. So, yeah, split them up.
Yeah.
Hell, I'd even throw Brie in the NXT. Have the Bellas dominate NXT Women's title and the Divas champ.
That'd be interesting.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Well, not even that. Maybe furthering what Stephanie told Brie, like, you're not mentally stable to because of everything happened to Daniel Bryan. Why don't we put you down to the development team?
Oh,
rehab you in NXT.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you'll have Brie down there at NXT and Nikki separate.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said it like
I
that.
Don't either.
Separate.
We're watching too much Total Divas.
Yeah, I guess so.
No, we're talking about Divas.
All right, that's that. Are we done talking about WWE for this week? Is there anything else?
Done? Oh, God, yes.
Okay, we're done. We'll go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about Lucha Underground. And
Lucha Underground!
And a couple of other things, too.
There's nothing else besides Lucha.
There's a couple of things.
There's not.
That matter?
No.
Well, we'll talk about some things that don't matter, I guess. Yeah. All right, commercial. Bye.
No more questions.
Thank you so much for listening to our show. If you'd like to continue to support Houston Wrestling Radio, you could do so in a number of ways. First, if you downloaded us off of iTunes, hit the subscribe button. That way you get every new episode as soon as we upload them. Also, you could write a review as well as give us a rating. If you're listening to us on the Stitcher Radio app, hit the thumbs up button at the bottom of the app. If you want to just interact with us, you could do so on Facebook, facebook.com/Houston Wrestling Radio, or on Twitter, @HWrestlingRadio. You can also send us an email, HoustonWrestlingRadio@gmail.com. And if you're able to support us monetarily, you could buy one of our awesome t-shirts designs at tpublic.com/user/HWR podcast. Or if you like something different, like a phone case or a tote bag or a hoodie, you could do that at redbubble.com/people/HWR podcast. Again, thank you so much for your continued support, and enjoy the rest of the show.
Hey everybody, this is Chris. Do you ever feel nostalgic? Do you want to jump into that DeLorean and go back in time? Listen to our podcast, Pop Culture Rewind. My friend Travis and I, we talk everything pop culture, movies, television, TV shows, games, video games. You think it, we talk about it. Pop Culture Rewind at facebook.com/popculturerewind. Find us on Twitter @PopCultureRWND. And as Travis always says, don't forget to pop your culture.
This is Raj Singh, former WWE Superstar Jinder Mahal, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio.
All right, guys, we are back. Thank you for sticking with us through the commercial break. We very much appreciate it. And if you're listening to us on Texas Sports Review, thank you so much. Go check out their Facebook page. Give them a like. Tell them that you, you know, are listening to our show on their station and all that. They'll appreciate that. We have some more wrestling talk to get to. Our favorite show, as it has been over the last, I don't know, several months. Lucha Underground had another spectacular episode this past week. They have yet to produce a bad episode, I'd say. And this week's episode's no different. We had the debut of Jack Evans on their roster, and oofta.
Debut to Lucha, not debut to wrestling fans. What? Jack Evans has been around for quite a while.
Yes. Jack Evans is pretty well known, I'd say, amongst wrestling circles. You don't see him a whole lot in America, but when you do, it's something special. And
the last time I saw him was on the WXS
Wrestling Society X.
WSX, yeah.
WSX, yes.
I was getting mixed up.
Yeah. Chris, tell us all about his debut in Lucha Underground.
My pick for match of the week.
Your pick.
Him and Aerostar.
Really? Well,
no, actually, no, that's not my
pick. I was about to say, you didn't.
Candidate, not pick.
Yeah.
Oh.
Had you there for a second.
Yeah, you did.
Well, actually, up until then, that kind of was. The stuff Jack, his arrogance turned up to like 12.
Yep.
El mejor luchador. The better luchador. He invented Lucha Libre.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that, you just can't help but fall in love with his heelness.
Just the he just had a presence. As soon as he came out for the entrance, doing the handstands, the gesturing, everything, got into the ring, doing the almost like breakdance style type stuff. But yeah, just his presence, just in general,
yeah,
made him look like a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it was just him acting like he was a big deal, made him a big deal.
Yeah.
And just the announcers too, like they really just put him over. They really did a whole lot to, you know, say, hey, yo, this is Jack Evans, he's coming back, you know. They were really excited for him. And then the fact that they put him with Aerostar, of all people. Yeah, that was pretty good. I mean, Aerostar's been, I don't want to say a focal point, but he's been somebody that's been pretty formidable. I mean, his feud with Drago is really, it really elevated him, I'd say. Mm-hmm. Even though he came out on the losing end of it.
Well, but who's still here?
Aerostar is still here, yes. That's what I'm saying. He got elevated in his feud, even though he was on the losing side of it. So let's, you know, get to the specifics here of what made this match awesome.
Let's start with the finish. Sunset flip pile driver.
Super sunset flip pile driver. Off the top rope. A Canadian destroyer, basically, off the top rope. That was bananas.
For a second, I thought he really did kill Jack Evans.
Yeah.
The debut and death of one wrestler.
Yeah.
The Dudley Twitch. Post-match. Love
yeah.
it.
Yeah, no, it was oof. And I wasn't expecting Jack Evans to lose. I wasn't expecting that at all. Like, all that hubris and
that's
this
the,
and that.
That's the unpredictability of Lucha.
Yes! Yes!
And guess what?
What?
If they start a feud with Evans and Aerostar, I'm gonna love it.
Me too. I'm going to love it also. Let them have a best of seven series and for a unique opportunity.
After the fifth match, let them know, hey, it's a best of seven.
By the way. Yeah. I'm very, very pleased with this new debut. And I thought, you know, we've said this before that they might be walking that thin line of bringing in names and people that we know, and it'll get bogged down with all these super. So far, it seems as though they know how to handle names, so to speak. You know, and they're doing everything correctly, and that debut is no different.
Well, with all due respect to Jack Evans, that's not, you say. You know, they know how to handle big names.
Uh-huh.
He's not Del Rio. He's
not. No,
Jack
I
Evans
know.
Has a name.
He
it's
has
Jack
a name.
Evans.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Yeah,
oh
I'm
my
not
God,
saying
world renowned.
Yeah.
Best in the world. Last.
You're pushing it.
Last
with
student from the dungeon.
You're pushing it with Daivari, saying that's a big name.
well, established names.
Yeah.
There, you know, so far they've had a track record of handling it well. You know, trying to give them props here, Travis.
Hey, look, I said with all due respect.
Yeah.
So that means, okay.
Yeah, so that means you can insult him.
All right. What else from Lucha Underground? Over here. What else from Lucha Underground, guys?
Oh, well.
There's a certain set of 38Ds that captivated me in the moment.
Oh, yeah?
And that was the entire backstage segment of Phoenix, Maxine, and
Katrina.
The followers of the dead, or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
That were
the undead luchadors.
Yeah.
And if you're not too busy staring at her, she was actually saying some pretty good stuff there too, Chris. Mm-hmm.
Well, what did she say, Travis?
Wait a minute. I was paying attention. It was
you resurrected Mil Muertes to make him even stronger than he was erected before he died.
That's what I heard.
Erection?
What? Yeah.
What?
What? No, it's crazy. No, yeah, the fact that you fell for my trap. That's what she said. I love the fact that she actually admitted it.
It's yeah.
Like, yes.
So the plan was, let me get this straight. The plan was to have her make out with Phoenix so that he would fight Mil, so that he would beat Mil, so that he would be in a casket and die and be resurrected as himself again.
What? Stronger than before.
Yeah, he's got white eyes now, remember.
Yeah.
That's it? That's... What? Okay.
I'm thinking he's going to have new tights.
All right. Like that.
Have you seen that rack?
Oh, that rack.
See?
That's no clearance rack, my man. That's top shelf. That's like security escort to the car type merch.
Bazinga.
All right. No. I got to do a PSA.
Yes.
You use, and you to an extent, use Bazinga not in the right way, my friend.
Just, yeah, I know.
Okay.
It's okay.
No, it's not. First of all, you're referencing Big Bang Theory is totally unacceptable.
Says the guy that had the last 7 episodes on his DVR, is afraid to admit it.
That's from Big Bang Theory?
That's how you use it. Thank you, Chris.
The backstage segments like that where it's not that they're openly admitting that wrestling is fake. They're openly admitting that wrestling can be an art.
Yeah.
And that the way those segments are produced with the example of the Mil and Phoenix segment, if you can make people forget when they're watching that program that, hey, this doesn't feel like wrestling, you're doing your job right.
Yeah.
And this feels a lot less, not in a negative way, this feels a lot less of wrestling and a lot more of entertainment.
Yeah.
And I like it.
But they still have respect for the wrestling. It's not just a crazy show and that's it. It's a crazy show, but they have full length 5-star matches in between.
Exactly. Yeah.
Here, I got 2 words for you. And this will describe the next match we're going to talk about down here.
All right.
Controlled chaos.
Ah, I see where you're going.
That's how I describe Lucha. And that's how I describe this 7-person match that they had. For what was the prize, Abel?
Well, it was another unique opportunity.
Yes. What was it?
I don't know.
Immortality!
Immortality?
Really? If there's any wrestling organization...
Did you say really like that?
If there's any wrestling organization to its credit so far that has been so off the wall yet so focused on what they're doing... that they can make something like the word immortality actually sound relevant in the situation, in the storyline. Another example of them doing their job right.
Yeah. Now, at the end of the day, it was a coin. One of the 7 medallions that who knows God where he got these things from and what they actually are, because apparently Dario Cuerto is part of some cult.
The flea that we market, still don't know. Man. You get them at a deal when you can buy them bulk.
Ah, seven. La Pulga.
Yeah, La Pulga.
All right. I don't know, man. It's kind of off the wall, but I'm intrigued and I want to see where they're going with this.
I'm going to tell you exactly where they're going with it.
Where?
This is the Infinity Gauntlet of Lucha Underground, and Muertes is getting all seven.
Oh.
It's not ironic that Phoenix won the first one, yet he's already entangled in this redo with Muertes. That's it. That's my Thanos right there.
Yeah.
Thanos. He's going to get all seven of them and get immortality.
Well, what do we want to say about this match itself?
Oh, God.
Fun.
Very fun. Very, very fun.
I go back to what I was saying. Control chaos.
Control chaos,
what
yes.
What was your
perfect
statement that you made when we were watching the match in real time?
The fact that it was seven people fighting, and I can't say men because it was sexy star
in there.
But it wasn't just a big cluster muck of everybody fighting in the ring. It was everybody scrambling out to the outside, starting brawling with each other, and you had two guys go in the ring intermittently and just go at it, have a little, nice little mini match.
And it made sense. They always did it to where the pairs made sense, you know?
Right.
You had Phoenix in there with Pentagon. It's like, oh, okay, well, the actual Lucha guys are in there. And then you had, you know, Cage in there at some point. It's like, oh, the big guy that everybody's going to bounce off of. And, you know, then you had Sexy try to go after Pentagon, but then try to save some of the other wrestlers. Mm-hmm. Like, everything flowed very well. It was very controlled, but it was very chaotic. You had a lot of moving parts with it. And I liked that there was another part, like, closer towards the beginning of the match where it was like, one group of people's on one side, one group of people is on the other, and they're both doing their stuff at the same time. It's like, oh, wow, that's so different. But they did it in an orderly way. Like, it's just hard to explain, and I was very impressed with it.
It's a pseudo-tornado match.
Yeah.
Basically, everyone's fighting outside, and then randomly two people are in the ring, but not as random because the two people in the ring either already have built storyline or are starting their own storyline.
Yeah.
And then when one got tossed out, another one came in to remind you why these two are actually fighting. And just back and forth. And then even with the team combos with Cage and Cuerno and with Mac and Killshot.
Yes.
And then Phoenix and Sexy Star and then Pentagon just wanting to kill everybody.
Yep.
You know, it reminded you why. It's one of those matches that are like buffers in between like the crescendos of certain feuds.
Yes.
And that's what that was.
Yeah. All that being said, I think I'm willing to give this my match of the week pick. I don't know about you two guys, but that's my pick. What do you think, Chris?
It's my pick.
All right, Trav?
For the sake of less drama, I am going to say that my match is still maintaining my original pick that I had originally was 2 out of 3 falls match from Payback, New Day versus K-Swiss.
Okay. Oh, all right.
Yeah.
No, I can respect that because that was just as fun as this match.
Good match.
Both matches were just fun. Fun to watch.
By a frog's hair. It just, that's how much.
A frog's hair? Yeah. Frogs have hair?
Shut up. Yeah. I want to say something else, but I can't.
Trying to clean up the show. Yeah, I know. I'm cool with it, and I don't know what else to say other than, man, it's just fun, and it seems like Lucha Underground always churns out something fun every week.
The only gripe I have, because me and Travis both noticed the significance of one special guest in there.
Yeah,
if Robert Trujillo is going to be in every episode, then we're never getting a new Metallica album ever.
Okay.
That's the only nitpick I have. I'm grasping for straws here. I'm like, All
right. Well, then let's move on to another match then. Hernandez versus Del Rio went down. And I thought it was a decent little match. I mean, typical stuff that you would expect out of Hernandez and Del Rio, I'd say.
The star was neither of them.
Right. The star was Mundo coming out, interrupting, and basically having a full-on out heel turn.
I'm confused on that one, though.
Okay.
Just because, thinking back when Del Rio first came in, Mundo was the star. Del Rio was antagonizing him.
Yep.
So, like, I don't understand how this is a heel turn for... Like, if it wasn't for Mundo, like, doing the mannerisms, like, the facial expressions and things like that, being, like, looking like a heel, I would say this was just him, like, getting pissed off at Del Rio.
Getting back at Del Rio?
In the moment, the face in that match was Del Rio and the heel was Hernandez. If you're going to keep the face from winning his match, then that person's officially a heel.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the next episode where Mundo says, hey, you're coming into my territory. You're the mega champion, and you're coming in here trying to befuddle the Lucha Underground roster. I've been here from the very beginning. So I'm going to do what's best for me and take your belt from you.
Okay.
And explaining that he's was the one that was getting picked on the entire time, hopefully that'll make an explanation to where Mundo will come out looking as the babyface here and Del Rio actually, or El Patron, having pointed out his flaws, being the heel. And even then, it's Lucha. The fans make up their own decision.
Thank you.
Just because Mundo's a heel doesn't mean I'm going to boo him. I mean, this is probably the best he's looked as a heel.
Yeah.
This is better than Johnny Nitro. This is better than John Morrison. This is...
And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, this is the first time Lucha's done a heel turn.
Yes.
So I'm hoping that they do just... They don't change the character like WWE does. You know, when someone turns a heel, they're automatically just a 180 character, like personality and everything. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping he'll still keep doing what he's doing, but he just has his one little feud with Del Rio.
Well, something that you were kind of touching on there, Trav, is it kind of makes sense that he's just trying to get back at Del Rio. If all the stuff within his character makes sense, maybe it's not as simple as wrestling likes to do, where it's just, oh, faces and heels. Maybe it's something a little bit more cinematic, a little bit more complex, a little bit deeper of a character, where it's not just somebody that you're just going to boo, but this is Johnny Mundo. This is what he does. And if you like him, you like him. If you don't like him, you don't like him. But at least the things that his character does makes sense to him. You know,
makes him who he is.
Yeah, exactly.
It differentiates him from every other person.
So if it's an out-and-out heel turn, okay, great. That's what it looked like at the end of the episode. But maybe this Wednesday he has some other explanation, and it's like, okay, well, it makes sense why he did what he did. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm still going to cheer the guy because he's a great wrestler.
He did a good impersonation of Shawn Michaels when he tossed Del Rio through that window.
and the MVP of that segment?
Cueto.
Dario freaking Cueto is like...
Who's this guy coming through my window?
Go fix me a glass of scotch and enjoy the view and looking out and the perspective of him in the office.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, we would have never gotten that.
Love it how he, like, looked up at the window and there's, like, a piece of wood hanging and he just kind of, like, grabs it and tosses it on the floor. Like,
that's more important than saving Del Rio's carcass.
Yeah, it's like, wow. I really like violence, so that was a lot of violence. Yeah. Good job, guys. Like,
I'll drink to that.
No, literally, like, when he's holding the glass, I told Chris, like, you can see the gears turning in his head. Like, how is he going to turn this into something?
How is he going to benefit
from
it? Yeah.
Because somebody's going to have to out-of-pocket $250 for that window replacement.
Oh, that was awesome. That was some great stuff. Again, the details and the cinematic nature of the show just really makes a lot of things that would otherwise be off the wall and probably wouldn't work anywhere else work there. All right. Anything else we want to talk about with Lucha Underground? Are we done?
Gold star for Big Rick.
Oh, yeah?
Short and sweet. Mm. The one thing you do in this business, make your money while you can. And if they pay me enough, I'll even beat up my own family. You could just see Mac just go from, like, happy-go-lucky family member to, I'm a marked man. Like that.
Yeah.
You know, just, again, devil in the details. That's all it needed. Didn't have to be a 15-minute promo out in the ring. Just 2 minutes in the back. Done.
Yep.
Sometimes that's all you need to further a storyline and further a development of a character. You don't need to have them 15 minutes every week, just cutting the same lines every week or doing the same match type every week. Sometimes it just takes 2 minutes. Get your point across. Quality, not quantity.
Yep. I agree.
I concur.
Yeah? Anyway. Well, let's concur your ass out of here. And this weekend?
That didn't make any sense.
I know. It didn't make any sense. I know. This past weekend was Ring of Honor. Last week, we all said, oh my god, Ring of Honor, this is going to be so awesome. And we went over the card and we were so excited. And we were like, oh, we're going to watch all this on pay-per-view. Come to find out, over the course of the week, that when Ring of Honor says pay-per-view, they don't mean on the telly with the click or click, 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 hey, there's the show. They mean go to the interwebs, type, 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 and I pay-per-view. Like, you stupid son of a...
I distinctly showed both of y'all on the Ring of Honor events page, right where it said Global Wars Night 1, right on the bottom, what was the first thing they had?
I pay-per-view. And then it was a pay-per-view slash iPay-per-view.
Pay-per-view first.
Right.
Slash iPay-per-view.
Yeah.
Slash video on demand.
Well,
slash go F yourself.
Somebody that runs that freaking website doesn't know what the hell they're talking about. Because when we went to go look on our freaking TVs, you have what, AT&T? Mm-hmm. And I have DirecTV.
Neither and I have the Pirate Bay.
Yeah. Neither of us were able to find it on our channels there, so we're like, okay, well, from, I guess we're not watching it.
From 4 days to the fight up to the day of the fight. Nothing.
Nada. Zilch. So I don't know if maybe we just had the wrong service provider. Maybe I should go to Dish instead of DirecTV or something stupid like that. But if you're going to advertise your thing as being on pay-per-view, why wasn't it on pay-per-view? That it just pissed me off. And when it came to the day of, we were still debating back and forth as to what we're actually going to do. And Chris, you said, well, it's on iPay-per-view. Maybe we'll plug in the laptop into the thing and I'll plunk down the $20. And I'm like, yeah, great. That way we'll only be able to see half the show. Whoop-dee-doo. Like, I still don't have enough confidence in Ring of Honor's iPay-per-view to actually order an iPay-per-view. That's not live. A real pay-per-view. Live, yeah. So I was like, eh, F it. So,
well, it's on demand. And we have Memorial Day weekend. You want to sit down and watch it?
Maybe. I don't want to make any promises on this show because that's what happened last time. And, well, see what happened. So, I don't know. If we do, we do. If not, well, too bad, so sad. I've said this many a time on the show. Ring of Honor, if you get your stuff together and you actually have your things on the telly, on TV, we will watch it and we will cover it and we will talk about you. But as long as you don't have it on the TV, if you don't have the distribution, you know what? Bye. See ya.
Yeah.
Jerks.
So Comic-Palooza is next weekend.
Yes. Comic-Palooza is this weekend. Reality Wrestling, they're going to be having their shows Saturday and Sunday, I believe. Doomsday is also going to be there. I'm not sure what days they're having there.
Did you legitimately cough, Travis, or are you gagging on purpose?
No, reflex. Yeah, Doomsday. Yes.
Doomsday is going to be having their shows there. I'm not sure what days. I'm terrible. I'm sorry. But yeah, go check it out.
It's either going to be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or Monday.
Yeah, one of those 4 days. And there's going to be a panel that... Tex Lone Star, Steve DeMarco, and John David Guerra are going to be a part of talking about wrestling as a medium for storytelling, and that's going to be on Friday. So make sure you guys go and check that out. That's going to be a cool little panel.
Would have been better if one of us were on it.
Yeah, well, it was on Friday, and I wasn't going to be able to go to that. But anyway, check that out. Check out Comic-Palooza. We'll see if we could go. The following weekend is Lone Star Championship Wrestling. On the 30th at the VFW in Cypress, Texas. So check that out. That's going to be another awesome event. So yeah, a couple of good weekends worth of local independent wrestling here. You know, hopefully you don't blow all of your money at Comic-Palooza and you save a little bit to go over to Lone Star the following weekend. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you'll just get a paycheck in between. That'll probably be nice too. But yeah, come on down, come on out and should be a part of the stuff. Do your thing. You guys got anything else before we head out?
The Rockets are down by 4.
Well, it's better than being down by 14.
Well, give them time. It's only third quarter.
Yeah. All right. I'm done. Adios, my friends. Keep it classy.
Toodles.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good,
though. It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
It was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.